From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. Our text for this morning comes from 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Mephibosheth was no great ornament to a royal table, yet he had a continual place at David's board, because the king could see in his face the features of his beloved Jonathan. Like Mephibosheth, we may cry unto the King of Glory, What is thy servant, that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am? But still the Lord indulges as with the most familiar intercourse with himself, because he sees in our countenances the remembrance of his dearly beloved Jesus. The Lord's people are dear for another's sake. Such is the love which the Father bears to his only begotten, that for his sake he raises his lowly brethren from poverty and banishment to courtly companionship, noble rank, and royal provision. Their deformity shall not rob them of their privileges. Lameness is no bar to sonship. The cripple is as much the heir as if he could run like Asahel. Our right does not limp, though our might may. A king's table is a noble hiding place for lame legs, and at the gospel feast we learn to glory in infirmities, because the power of Christ resteth upon us. Yet grievous disability may mar the persons of the best-loved saints. Here is one feasted by David, and yet so lame in both his feet that he could not go up with the king when he fled from the city, and was therefore maligned and injured by his servant Ziba. Saints whose faith is weak and whose knowledge is slender are great losers. They are exposed to many enemies, and cannot follow the king whithersoever he goeth. This disease frequently arises from falls. Bad nursing in their spiritual infancy often causes converts to fall into despondency from which they never recover, and sin in other cases brings broken bones. Lord, help the lame to leap as an hart, and satisfy all thy people with the bread of thy table.
Yeah.
Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little booklet, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for the Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Paul's epistle to the Colossians. His text is chapter 1, verse 13, Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? In this verse, the apostle is describing the new condition of those who believed in Christ for salvation. The first thing Dr. Cairns notes is that salvation is a divine work. The text emphasizes that the power that saves sinners is greater than that power that has been holding them captive. While in bondage to the power of darkness, the sinner is helpless and hopeless. Blessed be God, he is able to free condemned souls from the chains of darkness and sin. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
The awful thing about the fall of man into sin is that when Adam fell, and with him the whole race fell, there was no recuperative power left in human nature. There was nothing in the will of man, unregenerated, to desire God. That's why Romans 3 says, there is none that desires him. There is none that seeks after God. There's no recuperative power in man. So if there's ever to be salvation, it can't come from yourself, nor can it come from any other man. And this is the craziness of people of every sort of religion who are running around the world to this guru and that guru, to this philosopher and that philosopher, to this thinker and that thinker, trying from them to obtain the light of life, as if they have the secret. They don't. And if they did, they couldn't impart it to you anyway. Only God can do that. And that's why in this text, the terms that Paul uses all deliberately express the idea of power. Notice he uses the word delivered. I'll come back to that in a moment, but for the moment I'll simply say that here he's speaking of a power that is greater than the power that held us. That's obvious. Then he says, delivered us from or out of the power or the authority of darkness. Again, the idea is of superior power. When he uses the word darkness, we tend to look on that as almost a personification of the devil, and you wouldn't be wrong. In fact, I don't think you can, as an exegesis, actually put the devil's name there and say he is using it as a synonym of the devil. But certainly there is a reference to some dark tyranny and bondage. He's speaking of something that's evil, something that's terrible. And the whole idea of this text is that we lay under a tyranny that was so monstrous, a tyranny of an enemy so powerful that we had no hope of escape, no means of escape. There was no help for our souls in ourselves or in anything or anybody round about us, except by a divine action, we could not be saved. That's the testimony of Scripture. I've referred to Ephesians 1, following that great prayer, which culminates in a reference to Christ being the head over all things to his church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He goes on to say, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What a picture. There's a graveyard worse than that that Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel 37. There's a graveyard. It's worldwide. And it's hopeless. You could sooner go down to any of our local cemeteries and command the corpses to come forth. You could sooner do that with success than bring these people to life. And then we have one of the most beautiful verses in all the Bible. One of the most glittering gems in all of Scripture, set against the absolute blackness of our lost estate. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are or have been saved. This is a divine work. It's the uniform message of Scripture. There are two great truths, twin truths, that must be preached from every Christian pulpit. One is the inability of man, and the other is the ability of God. He is able. That's the constant truth that the Scripture set before us. He is able. I was going to refer you back to Ezekiel 34 this morning in a little detail, but since I have already gone to places I hadn't intended to go, I had better not spend too much time in Ezekiel 34. But I want you sometime just to take that chapter. Ezekiel's a book that sort of gets overlooked and people leave it out. And I can understand why. I don't have a very imaginative brain. And I confess that when I see a great deal of detail, either architectural or otherwise, my brain gets into a sort of a whirl and I don't understand an awful lot. But don't get tied down to your inabilities of understanding when there are so many things that are clear and plain. In Ezekiel 34, the Lord is dealing through the prophet with his position as the shepherd, the true shepherd of his people. And I want you to notice what he says, and I'm not going to expound these things except to emphasize the verb. Let's start at verse 11. Behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. Verse 12, near the end, the middle of the verse. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them. Verse 13, I will bring them out. I will gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and will feed them. Verse 14 again, I will feed them. Verse 15, I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down. Verse 16, I will seek that which was lost and will bring again that which was driven away and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. I want you to notice something. When he is describing salvation from a divine perspective, where there is no emphasis, now there are other places where there is such an emphasis, but where the emphasis is not upon human responsibility and human response, where God is focusing on the basis of such response, or such positive response, he's saying, this is unconditional. I will do it. Satan may oppose. Human depravity may stand in the way. False shepherds, such as Ezekiel has been describing, may seek to undermine the work. Lying prophets may rise up to lead the people astray. But I have a flock. I will seek out my sheep. I will find my sheep. I will deliver my sheep. I will feed my sheep. I will protect my sheep. They are my sheep. And I undertake by my sovereign power, I will do these things. This is a divine work. That's good news, you know, for the darkest and the neediest of sinners. Before any man is ever saved, he's brought to feel his own utter weakness, wickedness, incompetence, inability, wretchedness, sinfulness. Before any man is saved, he's brought to the place where he's prostrate before God. And he recognizes, unless God steps in and saves me, I must be damned, and justly so, for I'm a sinner and I can do nothing to save myself. But it's good news for such a one, for there's no power too great for God. There are many things in a pastor's life that bring grief. I suppose there's many a thing in everybody's life that brings grief. But there are many things when you're in a pastoral position where you deal with things that would break your heart. To stand at the grave of someone with whom you've pleaded. To stand and bury someone to whom you've given the gospel with every ounce of sincerity and honesty and integrity of which you're capable. And realize that unless God did some hidden miracle in the last moments that no man knows anything about, that soul's in a lost hell. That's a grief beyond description. But then there are the other times that bring great joy. To kneel with the broken, those cursed by sin, held in the bondage of darkness, to see them rise, new creatures in Christ. To see in an instant the power of sin broken. To kneel with a filthy adulteress, a prostitute, and see her rise glowing with a holiness and a purity that only God could give. To see the drunkard get up, never to go back to the devil's poison again. To see a young life shattered by hard drugs, set free to go and serve the living Christ. I want to tell you, those are joys. Nothing to do with the ability of a preacher, but everything to do with the power of God. I want to tell you, there's no power so deep, there's no darkness so deep, there's no tyranny so monstrous, but that He is able to deliver you. The hymn writer got it right. Our God, I don't come to preach the abilities of the Free Presbyterian Church. You depend on this church to get you to heaven and you'll go to hell, for we can't save you. I don't preach the abilities even of my scheme of theology. And it is the best scheme of theology. If you don't agree with it, you're just plain wrong. But you can be a Calvinist and go to hell. You can be a Presbyterian and go to hell. This is the work of God. And I tell you, He is able to deliver. That's the message. He is able to deliver. As Jeremiah tells us in chapter 50, if my memory's right, the 34th verse. Their Redeemer is strong. A strong Redeemer. Bless God, today we have one who breaks the power of canceled sin, who sets the prisoner free. Our God is able to deliver. This is a divine work.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.